You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
People have tried to form us in their image, their expectation of you. Lester Sumrall used to say, don't let your happiness be in somebody else's head. Believe that what God says about you is more true than anybody's opinion of you. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise be to God. You know, in Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. I believe that as we, some of us, are barely flickering because of whatever things we've allowed to penetrate our armor, penetrate our heart, betrayals, lies, unfulfilled expectations, cultural pressure, sins, habits, impulses, you know, self-destructive behavior, absentee fathers, dysfunctional families. I mean, cold toilet seat when you were three. It could be anything the devil will try to use to keep you from fulfilling your destiny. And I'm here to be your cheerleader tonight. I'm going to just encourage you. I'm going to be vulnerable. God's allowed me to share some things I haven't shared before. And I just want you to understand, you might be a smoking flax tonight where, you know, Pastor, you know, I'd love to dance. I'd love to sing. I barely can find the strength to get up to read my Bible to pray. And you might be a smoking flax, but that means there's still some flame in that flax. There's still some heat. And all you need is the wind of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God for somebody to blow on it and get your flame going again. Amen? So that's the purpose, I believe. Perhaps I can assume this from the pastor's heart and his vision for this wonderful Accelerate camp meeting or whatever we're going to call it. We're going to call it, praise God, what it is, Accelerating, praise God, and things of God. But it's really flaming the flames. Yeah, we have a northern accent, you know, and flaming the flames, hallelujah. Well, we're fanning the flames. I'll get it out. Good thing I didn't say Fannie Mae. He has a fern farm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, hallelujah. So anyway, we need to understand is that God wants us to fan the flames. You won't get anything out of this except, I don't know what it was, but it was about fanning flames. Amen, praise God. Turn to somebody and say, if you're saved and you know it, let your face show it. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Say this with me. I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Do you remember 1 John? It says, beloved or little children, you have overcome them, for greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Let's say that together. Say this with me. I have overcome them. Because greater is he. Put your hand on your heart, on your inner man. Just say it. Bigger is he. Grander, bigger, more authoritative, more powerful is he who's in me than he that's in the world. Praise be to God. How many believe that? Give God a shout. Amen. We're bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. Hallelujah. You know, as you fly, if you get an opportunity to fly, I've flown a little bit, you know, over in South America quite a bit, and France and Canary Islands and above the Arctic Circle, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, when you get up there so many miles, you begin to see a little slice of the earth, maybe how God sees it, you know. And the Bible says he discerns the affairs of man at a glance. 6 billion people, he knows their hair number. He knows which one of mine fell out. Anyway, he knows everything about us. He knows when a sparrow falls. He knows everything. Praise be to God. And on the inside of God's heart is this little blue planet called Earth. He has this planet on his heart. And the Bible says in Ephesians, let's look at that. Ephesians, I believe it is in chapter 3. And it says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How many want to be filled with the fullness of God? Chapter 3, in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. How many believe you're going to be strengthened with might in your inner man this weekend? Praise God. And the word might means explosion of almightiness. It means the explosions of God. Hallelujah. I mean, on the inside of you should be rolling around a hero wanting to come out. Yeah. Rolling on the inside of you should be fire in your bones. Come on now. Yeah. And that Christ may dwell in you in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? Well, praise God, God knows everything about people. You know, as I've gone through Owosso and other cities, I would see somebody and the Lord would say, pray for that man. He's about to die and he doesn't know me yet. Pray for this person over here. They've just had a battle with their marriage and they're going through a divorce. You have words of knowledge sometimes. You just pick it up in the spirit. And you'll just be thinking about people that you met throughout the day. Today we went to Walmart to have Liz's car tires rotated, oil changed, and I got to talk to Floyd, one of the mechanics there, one of the helpers there. And he says, I noticed your license plate says from Michigan. He says, where are you from? And we compared notes, and we our cities are right next to each other. We got talking about our backyards, amen. And I said, Floyd, I says, what do you? I said, I'm Pastor Jan Moore. I'm down here, and I told him where I was going to church and what we were doing down here and what my daughter was doing down here. And I said, you need a church? He says, man, I need to get back to it. I said, well, we'll get you an address of this church or get you hooked up somewhere. But I said, you know, Floyd, have you found your passion yet? He says, well, he says, I started out doing this and doing that. And he says, I ended up here. And he says, something. I know I'm supposed to do something other than what I'm doing. I says, don't we all? I mean, not instead of sometimes, but even more than what we're doing. Amen? I mean, if pastor's pastoring, he might be saying, you know, I could be doing something else. No, I believe God's going to add to your pastor more and more. Amen? How many know we need anointed and men of wisdom and experience? Amen? They have something to say. And so anyway, I said, what's your passion? He says, I don't know what my passion is, but I know there's something in there. I says, that's right, man. And so we made a Holy Ghost connection today. Isn't that awesome? You know, just because I love people. I just, you know, when you're a bubbling fountain, you kind of splash all over people, you know. Praise God. You know, instead of vomiting all over folks. I mean, no, you can regurgitate or you can wash. You can regurgitate on people and dump your woes and problems on others. Talk about how negative everything is. Or you can wash them with the watering of God's Word and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, put your hand on your heart and say, on the inside of me is a blue planet full of 6 billion people. The fullness of God is on the inside of me. None of me and all of him. I want to be full of him, not full of myself. Amen. Now, if we get past ourselves, we'll start really doing the works of Jesus. Isn't that right? We really will. Well, Pastor gave a flyer out. You all got it in the mail, a beautiful flyer about accelerating, about igniting the fire of God in the heart of the believers to excite and to encourage and to accelerate. And I thought I'd start off with some definitions tonight. I'm big about keeping with themes of the conference because since the Lord speaks to the head of the church or the leadership of the church, I figure God's given him something to say to help us. Amen. So I try to stay with those themes and those flows anywhere we go, praise God. Unless I think the pastor's up to lunch and doesn't know anything. Anyway, no, that's not true. We're going to stick with the theme, praise the Lord, because I believe he's heard from God. We're moving ahead now, praise the Lord. It's up from here, isn't it? All right, praise God. The word ignite means to set on fire, make burn, to kindle. To enkindle, to arouse, to cause to glow with intense heat, bring to the point of combustion. An igniter is one who ignites, a detonator, the act of being ignited, the igniter, to ignify, to set on fire, burn. Hallelujah. To have ignition means the act of igniting or the state of being ignited, the process of igniting the explosion mixture of fuel and air. Now, fuel is the Word of God. Air is worship. The ignition source is the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Word and you're not worshiping God, ain't nothing to come. Your wood's wet. Ain't nothing to light. Amen? In Leviticus 6, 8 through 13 talks about the priests are to keep the altar fire, the fire on the altar, going 24/7. How many believe this church has the fire going 24/7? And you're not to just sit around the campfire inside the church walls, kumbaya, and make everybody feel good. But the purpose of this is to get gassed up in the Holy Ghost and go out there and push the pedal to the metal and go out there and make a difference. Amen? The Bible says that Ephraim in Hosea 7, 8, and 9, Ephraim is a cake unturned. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Now, Elizabeth will verify this for years and years and years. Saturday, any given Saturday, you could come over to the Morehouse, and I'd be cooking pancakes, and there'd be kids sleeping over, come over, whatever, and we'd have pancakes. And the pancake that wasn't flipped over was that I might have gotten distracted or whatever. It was burned on one side, but doughy on the other. It was half-baked. I know some Christians that are half-baked. The fire hasn't... The reason something's half-baked is because the fire hasn't gone all the way through. And we need to let the fire go all the way through and stop being half-baked. Hallelujah. Half my life, half God's life. Well, there's my life and then there's church life. No, there's you and God. Hallelujah. Come on. How many know you're to be normal out in the world? You're acting normal right now. You should take that normalcy and go out to the world. Isn't that right? If you're on a crowded elevator, you want to make room, just act normal. Start worshiping God in other tongues, Brother Rance. I'm telling you, it works. And if there's no space, they'll make one for you, praise the Lord. They'll go up or out or whatever, but they'll make room. Don't be an ignis fatuus. You know, I'm trying to impress you as though I know how to give definitions like your pastor. Forget it. I'm trying. I even probably got this wrong. But ignis fatuus means a flickering phosphorescent light, sometimes seen over marshes or swamps. Thought to be caused by the spontaneous combustion of marsh gas. A deceptive attraction with a misleading expectation. Did you hear that? A deceptive attraction, a Christian planned church. Huh? A misleading expectation. And you get close to them, you find out what they're really made of. Some Christians look like they've got ignition, but they're just swamp gas. Turn to somebody and say, point to yourself, say, no swamp gas here. Now, we ain't going to go any further with the gas jokes, okay? You can take that home with you. Praise the Lord. Now, the Word of God and the fuel of God, the Holy Ghost is the air of God, and the ignition source is worship. They gave that a little different before. But fuel is the Word of God, all right? Air is the Holy Ghost, and then the ignition source is worship. Praise the Lord. Now, the word excite means to, you know, Pastor said, to accelerate, to excite, encourage, and accelerate, praise God, the believer, in a forward motion. To call to activity, this is the word excite. To call to activity in any way, to arouse, to feeling, to kindle, to passionate emotion, to energize, to produce a magnetic field in as to excite a dynamo. How many know there's a dynamo on the inside? You know, Elvis Presley said, I'm a steamroller, baby. Okay, right. Well, who wants to flatten people like a steamroller? No one. But we want to be a dynamo to charge people up, praise God. Amen. Amen. How many believe you should go somewhere to start something? Some of you are going, yeah, just show me where the fight is. No, I'm talking about starting something for God. Amen. You heard about the guy that walked into the saloon with jumper cables around his neck, and the bartender says, well, you can stay here, but don't you start anything. All right, I just want to encourage you now. We're talking about encouraging. turn to somebody else and say, you don't have swamp gas either. Woo, this is going to be good. Encourage, hallelujah, means to encourage, to put courage in, to give courage to, inspire with courage, spirit of hope, to raise the confidence of. And synonym would be embolden, cheer, hearten, comfort, advance. The word accelerate means to cause, to move faster, to quicken the motion of. In other words, accelerate means to quicken, to quicken the motion of, to add to the speed of, the change of velocity or the rate of such change as regards either to speed or direction or both. Now, I know a lot of Christians that are accelerating and they're going in the wrong direction. They're running after this latest fad and that latest fad and this latest movement. And Pastor, praise God, is stable. Praise God. How many know that we live by faith and not by sight? Praise God. And fads come and go. You know what fad means? F-A-D, for a day. Fad. And that's what a fad means. And so thank God you don't have to run after fads. You can run after God and His Word and be right on every time. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many believe Malachi 3 talks about He is the refiner? He's like a refiner's fire. And the Bible says in John and Luke 3:16 that it's one coming after me, John the Baptist said, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through, well, the whole chapter, you know, just it's wonderful to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, read all about it and see how it affected Peter's preaching. And eventually the baptism of soul, the baptism of the Holy Ghost brought souls in the kingdom by the thousands. I mean, the fire of God will draw souls into the kingdom. Come on now. And so if we're shining light to the world, how many know they're going to come and see the light that's in us? Praise the Lord. Not necessarily in our churches, but they're going to come to the light that's in you, where you live, where you work, where you play. Come on. And God has and will give us the tools, the strategies, the methods to carry out our calling. He will and has given us everything we need to be great in our effectiveness in impacting lives. And how many believe God has already given you the power to influence nations? By virtue of coming to this church, you impact nations through your giving, through your missions offering. Amen. By your attending, by your participating. Everything we do should be about souls. What we do is not who we are. Well, you're a pastor. No, that's what I do. What I am is a Christian. Well, I'm a mechanic. No, that's what you do. But what you are is a Christian that does mechanical work. See, the job that we do doesn't describe who we are. The job that we do is simply a method to extract money out of the kingdom of darkness so we can prosper to put it in the kingdom of light. I had an elder told me years and years ago, he said, Pastor, he says, you know, I work on the assembly line at Buick in Flint, Michigan, making cars. He says, I finally realized this. He told me this almost 20 years ago. He says, I realize I get to go to work to take money out of the kingdom of darkness so I can put it in the kingdom of God. And I said, man, I wish I had 1,000 like you. That's what it's about. Amen. Living to give. And so God has given us and has given us and will give us tools, strategies, methods, again, to carry out our calling, to be great in our effectiveness, to impact lives, to be great in our influence, to change nations, and to fulfill the Great Commission, as John Osteen used to say, to love the unloved, reach the unreached, tell the untold. Amen. You can find your promised land, but through the scriptures and through your inheritance, through knowledge of the Word of God, by going to church, hearing what your pastor has to say that God's given them to say to you to help you remember who you are, what you have, and what you can do. Amen. God wants you to discover what your promised land is, but there's a reason for that, not just to make you feel good, not just to bless you, not just to bless your goosebumps upon your goosebumps, but to bring the kingdom of God right where you live, right where you work, right where you shop, right where you live. Come on. And to take everyday simple steps to establish His rule and glory in the earth, which I'll talk about in just a moment. We're not to be confined to our sanctuary, our church classrooms. We're to influence society. The kingdom should overflow into the streets, overflow in the workplace. It should overflow in our government. It should overflow in the arts. in the entertainment venues. I believe the kingdom of God that we belong to should affect every level of life. And even nature teaches us growth and expansion is normal. Now, I've had seven kids, and, you know, what if my son, who's 14, Jordan, our youngest, you know, still wore the pants he wore when he was five? Well, those pants, flat guarantee, would be up to his knees. It'd look funny. How many know change is of God? And we're changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Not just so we can just have more deep experiences, just to bless our hearts, but to get us to where we need to be like Jesus, who came to seek and save that which is lost. We're not, our agenda, our purpose, our method, our reason for being here, our destiny. I want to talk to you about getting a sense of destiny tonight. Our destiny is not about just getting out of debt and just, you know, plugging away at church and just praying through a few things and going home and just doing our own thing. It's about fulfilling the Great Commission. It's about doing what Jesus did. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And we're not above our master. We're supposed to do the same. And Jesus told us that in Luke 17:21, the kingdom is within you. Hallelujah. It's not confined to buildings. The kingdom is in you to impact and influence others and to influence 6 billion people. How many know this church has given over $1 million to missions in the last, 10 years? 10 years. How many believe that's just the start? Amen. There's souls about to be saved because of your being on fire for God. And this is nothing more the devil would like to do than to distract you with whatever he can distract you with to get you to hunker down, to be self-absorbed, to isolate yourself. You know, Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own wisdom and rages at all wise counsel. And it's not about isolating ourselves. It's about coming and making a difference. We need you in church. We need your hugs. We need your smiles. We need your time, energy, yes, and your money. We need your talents. We need your abilities. We need every level of your life to participate and flam the flame. Fan the flame. Amen. So we can make a difference. And there's 5 billion people that aren't saved yet. That's 16 and a half times the population of the United States of America. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 21, you know this, nothing new to you tonight. But the Great Commission isn't to bring people into the church per se, even though that does happen. But the Bible says we're to go into all the world. Amen? And to go out and get this, go out where the sinners are. Like T.L. Osborne says, go out where the sinners are. Join this chariot, you know. Go out where the sinners are and make disciples. Jesus didn't say go and, you know, may he send the church on earth as it is in heaven. He so loved the world, he sent a committee. Come on. We need church buildings. We need organizational staffing. We need ministry of helps. We need governments in the church. But it's not where we're going to win souls. It's the preparation so that we can go prepared to win souls. Amen. So the kingdom principle is about being proactive out there where the sinners are. The kingdom is here now. The Holy Spirit is here now. God is in the now of our life. Say, God is in the now of my life. God is a right now God, isn't he? Isn't that right? Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Oh, you know, I don't know if he wants that person saved. They're just so nasty. They're just so mean. They're just so ugly. They're such a professional sinner. They sin real good. Yeah, God wants none to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Come on now. Sometimes we forget our heritage and our purpose when problems become our focus. We go into survival mentality, survival mode. It's all about us. Fear mode. Fear is all. Who are you thinking about when you're fearing? Fearing about yourself, thinking about yourself. It's designed to get you out of faith into fear. And survival mentality is not what we're supposed to do. It's not supposed to where we live or where we're supposed to meditate. But, you know, when you do that, it makes you impotent. It makes you weak. It makes you fruitless. And it rejoices the devil's heart to see inactivity in the body of Christ. Here we are, spiritual giants. Here we are, heroes. Here we are, rolling on the inside is the very power of God to change nations. and we're shut down because the fire is barely smoking. We're just so blown away by life and the battles. Let me tell you something. Life is unfair. Life has problems. Life is painful, but it's winnable. Say, life is winnable. Amen. Life is life for everybody, folks. Do you think what you're going through, God the Father looks at Jesus and say, I didn't see this coming, did you? I don't know, Father, what are we going to do? I don't know. This is the only person that's had this problem before. We'll have to write a new Bible just for this brother right here. Do you think God is thinking that way? No. He's trying to engineer circumstances so those brothers and sisters can see what he's already provided through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when we break focus and get more into survival mode, we get looking at our bills, we get looking at our debts, we start looking at what we don't have, we exchange of who we are for grasshopper mentality. Amen. We exchange who we are for a bowl of soup like Esau. We forget the value of what God's given us, the cost that he paid for that, the price that he paid for that, for our salvation, and we get focused on stupid stuff. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're to serve people with the gospel, to lead them, influence them with the eternal kingdom. And our focus should not be on paycheck to paycheck, but our focus should be on, praise God, I get to live another day to walk with God, to make a difference in the world. Amen. Somebody asked me today, how you doing? I said, every day above ground's a good day. Another person asked me, how you doing? I said, better than yesterday, worse than tomorrow. That's good. Somebody said, I'm sorry. No, you got to think about that. Worse than tomorrow means it's worse than tomorrow. It's getting better tomorrow. Psalms 2:8, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. I wonder who he's speaking to. Could it be the pastor? You know, all those fivefold anointed gifts that the anointing is dripping off their fingers, but us little Christians, you know, just plugging along. Well, we're just, you know, saved by the grace of God, by the skin of our chinny chin chin. Eric's, oh, you know, I'm glad I'm not going to I'm glad I'm not going to hell, but, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to go to heaven, and I'm working on it. Yeah, why your neighbors are going to hell, why the government's going down the tubes. How many know we need to let God arise and his enemies get scattered and stop sitting there in front of the mirror of self-pity? Huh? Come on. You know, think about it. If we spent as much time in the Word of God as we did in the mirror, we'd all be spiritual giants. The ladies absolutely hate me for that one because, oh well, we're to inherit nations. We belong to nations. God will hold us responsible for nations. You know, God holds you responsible for Will's Point and wherever a pastor. You know, I believe pastor is really a pastor to the city in his influence. You know, not that he pastors the pastors or other denominations, but God has given him a favor and influence to impact this city in this area and nations of the world, by the way. And he impacted Owosso. He impacted Jackson. Praise God. And he certainly has impacted me. That's why I'm preaching so good tonight. And that's why you're saying amen and amen in everything I say, because you love me so much. No, you're amening the Word of God that's truth. Amen. We're called to the world. We're worldly minded. Turn to somebody and say, hang around me and you'll become worldly minded. Oh, I know that bothers some religious folks, but let me tell you something. God's got a blue planet on his mind and in his heart. So do you. How many know you should be thinking about the world? Be worldly minded in that regards. I don't mean sinful. I don't mean compromising. I don't mean lustful. I don't mean fleshly. I don't mean carnal. I mean you're thinking about souls all the time. When you go to work, how can I reach that person who hates my guts at the office place? How can I love them into the kingdom? What can I do to bless them? What kind of gifts would they like? What kind of chocolate would they like? What kind of coffee would they like? Buy them a gift. Just give them a gift card. Think outside the box. Well, they don't ever smile to me. That's why I don't give them a Starbucks card. No, you give them a Starbucks card and they will smile. Hallelujah. Amen. So if anybody's an enemy with your pastor, Starbucks. I'm telling you right now. That'll work. Everything's all fine there. Amen. We're called to the world. We're to be worldly minded. We're to restore the kingdom of God to the hearts of the people. The ministry of helps in the local church is vital. It's important. And it's the housekeeping in the local church. But how many know we need to get the ministry of helps helping in the local church so it encourages and uplifts pastors' arms and those who are called to go out there and be Joshua's and whoop the devil and win souls. Amen? Praise God. So you get anything out of this so far?
Amen.
All right, I'll give you a few more points here. Everybody say, I'm touching the world. That's the great commandment. I'm building the kingdom. That's the great commission. The church is the headquarters. It's the embassy that houses ambassadors. You're sitting next to royalty. How many are born again here tonight? How many are sitting next to royalty?
Amen.
Well, they don't look too royal tonight, Pastor. Well, don't be moved by what you see. We're walking by faith, not by sight. So you're sitting next to royalty tonight. You're sitting next to an ambassador tonight. You're sitting next to the king's daughter, the king's son. You're in an embassy. This is an embassy of ambassadors. What's an ambassador? It's one who speaks on behalf of their king, Jesus. It's one who gives God's word more than their opinions. The ambassador speaks on behalf of his sovereign country or king or government, no matter what the faces look like, no matter what the response is. They just speak as they are sent to speak.
Amen.
Come on now. I mean, go ahead and shake somebody's hand. Hold on to their hand. Go ahead, just try it. Just shake their hand, hold on to it, and say, are you a Christian? Or are you thinking about becoming one? Isn't that easy to get somebody saved? Are you a Christian? It's a yes or no answer. Or are you thinking about becoming one? What are they going to do? You got their hand. And just don't let go. Hallelujah. What was that going down 635? Oh, it was one of those Christians who just wouldn't let go. Embassy of ambassadors. The battles aren't fought at the headquarters. The battles aren't fought at the embassy. The battles are fought out in the field, out where the sinners are. Amen. We're to influence the world by taking it out of the schoolhouse, out of the church house, out of the equipping place, out of the training place, out of the teaching place, and be world changers out where the sinners are. I've said it again and again. Our focus must be on the outside along with the inside. We need to go from the school to the world and bring the power of God's kingdom to the world. The church, say this with me, the church is the sending place. It's the launching pad to reach our destination. When we are hoarding God's kingdom resources by keeping it inside the four walls of the church, there's some pastors, you know, the only thing they don't put any pressure, no demand on their people to be a shining light or to support missions or to tithe or to live right or to live holy or to be a good neighbor to their lost neighbors. They just want, they're collectors. They just want to collect them. They want to keep them prisoner. And the pastors are the wardens. But I'm so glad this pastor isn't a warden. If you think he is, he's not. He's setting you free every time he says, it's an opportunity to give an offering today. It's an opportunity to support this missionary. It's an opportunity to go and have the Hallelujah night reaching all of this area, praise God, with thousands of people. You know, all those thousands of people, the seeds are being planted. Keep watering it with prayer, and those thousands are going to eventually show their face here. Don't you think you're sowing seeds to nothing. You're going to see the harvest of that, praise God. The word church means ecclesia, the called out ones. And we're called not away from the world, but out of the sinful nature of the world to go reach the world with a godly nature. Amen. We're called from our evil ways, but not into our caves. We're called from our evil ways so we can go out there and show them the love of Jesus. With all of its problems, the church is the most important entity of the world to the world. Jesus built it, and he's still building it. And it's through the church the kingdom comes. And the church is the only relevant thing on the earth. Pastor said it earlier. It's the hope of glory. He said it this way. We're it. Amen. Terry Mize was answering a Jamaican pastor one time. He says, what's our worst hindrance in reaching our island nation of Jamaica? He said, the worst hindrance is the church. And he says, well, what's the best thing we have to reach our island nation of Jamaica? He says, well, the church. Because the church is the only thing God has. It's the worst thing God has and the best thing God has because it's the only thing God has. Turn to somebody and say, we're it. Amen. And you can't be living like swamp gas and ignite a nation. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the task of the church is here. We're to bring the kingdom to the nations. Church is the training ground. It's the sending place to impact society around us. And the church fulfills its mandate when change comes to society, not when it's confined in our church walls. Isolation of the church defeats the purposes of why Jesus came. The Great Commission is to go out and disciple nations. Ministry is what you do to bring your life and your sphere of influence under kingdom rule. Don't just huddle in the church, but take it to the streets and your world that you live in. God holds the church responsible for your world, your area of influence. Pastor, you know, is right to pay the man of God what he's worth. The Bible even talks about double honor. Not that he can burn rubber up and down the county roads to do your job. Come on now. Pastor, you go win the souls, we'll just give you the money to do it. I'm busy mowing the lawn. Come on, he's got lawns to mow too. He's got a family too. He's got a wife and children, all that stuff to take care of too. Come on, how many know we're all supposed to do our part? We're all supposed to do our part. In fact, Pastor really wants you to go out in your way and in the world that you live in and the places you go. You know, listen, Pastor doesn't necessarily get a pedicure. Some of you ladies need to influence the ladies that get a pedicure. It was silent there. Yes, he does, Pastor. No. Listen, are you all right? It's a joke. Hallelujah. Lighten up. In other words, ladies, how many know Pastor can't go where you go? Amen? Some of you men, Pastor can't go where you go. And some of you men, Miss Brenda can't go where you guys go. Come on, in your sphere of influence. You all got it. That's why you're all looking at me like, let's move on, Pastor. All right. People in Michigan are a little slower, so we need to repeat things. I said we need to repeat things. Did I say we need to repeat things? Church is the training ground. It's the training ground for soldiers to go out there and win battles. Amen? How do you get a sense of destiny, Pastor? I want you to write this down. What's my life mission? What's my destiny? Now, I'm going to give you some things very rapidly, very fast, and if you can't understand me, you'll get the CD and just slow down the speed. But you need to get the CD because this is going to help you in ensuing months ahead to meditate. You're only going to absorb, statistics share with us that person that hears this once is only going to absorb about 10 to 15%. And if you take notes, maybe 18 to 20%. But if you listen to it over and over and over, how many know you should be, praise God, if you missed a Sunday service, you should be getting pastor CDs. Come on now. Are you listening to me? Come on. You love me, don't you?
Amen.
Half of you. Thank you. Thank you. Our last name is Moore, so it's natural for you to say amen. All right. Albert Einstein had a life mission statement. He would stare into the space and he would think up ways to unlock the secrets of the universe. The Wright brothers had a mission statement to make man fly. Bill Gates has had a dream to serve the world with a better way to live. Thomas Edison wanted to light the world and invent the uninvented. Martin Luther had a dream. Robert Schuller had his possibilities. Billy Graham was to tell the world the good news. Kenneth Hagin was to teach God's people faith. Amen? I even put one for me in here, Jan Moore. Thought, well, since they're talking about great men and humble ones at that, to bring love, healing, and a sense of destiny to broken-hearted, saved and unsaved alike. That's my assignment. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the most awesome assignment, mission statement ever written, was to seek and to save that which is lost, to give his life so we could have life more abundantly. Amen. To preach, teach, and heal. Can I hear an amen? That was a mission statement of our Lord. So what's your sense of destiny? How can you get it? All your trials, all your fights, all your battles are preparation for a higher purpose. And it's to cause the destiny to come to pass. How you respond to pressure versus how you react to pressure makes all the world. Reactionary lifestyle is reacting things by the carnal mind, by the flesh, by the emotions. But to respond by the Holy Ghost is evidence that fires in your heart and the Word of God has penetrated your soul. Number one, you need to buy the dream. You need to get a sense of grandeur toward life. How many believe there's more to life than just eking out a living, making it from paycheck to paycheck? It's more than just praying for it to be sunset. And then when it's sunset, you pray for it to be sunrise. I'm telling you, suicide is an epidemic among our young people. Every 7 seconds, there's a young person taking their life in America. So we need to, number two, turn our dreams into a vision. The vision is the depth, capacity, and measurable impact of a dream. Vision is the structure that puts arms and legs on the dream. Number three, you need to make the choice to commit to endure. If you have a sense of destiny, you have to endure some things. You must accept the responsibility to endure hardness. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, Paul said, as a good soldier, Amplified Version says, as a first-class soldier, endure hardness. How many know our boys and girls in uniform out in the Middle East are enduring hardness as first-class soldiers? We need to honor them. We need to pray for them. But you can look at their example. They're the property of the United States government. How many belong to Jesus? You're the property of Jesus Christ. And for us to pick and choose what we want to do is smorgasbord Christianity. That's why when the Passover took place, God's people were commanded to eat all of the lamb. How many know we're to eat all of Jesus? All the Word, not the bits and pieces that we like, but stuff like forgiveness, stuff like get over it, move on, press on. Don't let your past control your future. Come on now. Amen. Walking in love. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. You need to walk in love. Number four, be willing to exchange your life and time for your destiny. In other words, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says there's a time for everything. There's a purpose under heaven. There's a time for every purpose. How many believe you need to exchange your life and time for something of eternal value? No greater high than getting somebody saved. No greater thrill than to turn somebody from hell to heaven. Praise be to God. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 15, the Bible says that not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have arrived, to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, in other words, not letting my past control my future, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. How many believe there's things ahead for you? Say that with me. There are things ahead for me. There are people I haven't met yet. Say it. There's opportunities. There's blessings waiting for me in my future. There are things ahead for me. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, there's a time in my ministry. I mean, there's been several times. Every minister would admit this if they were true. But there are times you had the feelings like you weren't significant. You weren't relevant. You weren't making a difference. You know, no one says thank you. You just preached your heart out. You study for hours and not one thank you, not one smile, not one gratitude. Of course, we don't preach for the amens. Amen. We don't preach for the thank yous. We preach as unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we need to get to this place where we understand that sometimes when you feel irrelevant and insignificant and so on, God sends peculiar vessels across your path to help you realize that you are significant. And this 80-year-old widow called me up one time, and in her broken, crackly voice on my answering machine, she began to sing to me, "Don't give up on the brink of a miracle." Sang it out of tune, sang the whole song, and listened to it. Said, "Boy, that's out of key." And I began to melt and cry. I said, "God, I didn't even recognize it, but you are sending this messenger to help me believe I am relevant. Sometimes we need encouragement. Well, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. How many believe you do have a future? If we could just convince the person that committed suicide. I did a funeral for a young couple, a brother and a sister in their 20s. Their mother threw herself in the front of a railroad train, committed suicide. She had 3 masters. She was a professor. She got divorced. She turned to alcoholism. She went into drugs, lost her sense of destiny, and thought she was worthless and irrelevant. I wish I could have reached her. I wish some Christian could have reached her. And you know, I believe there are Christians walking by her all the time, but they just were so into their world that they didn't have time. Like the Good Samaritan story, I don't have time. We need people like the Samaritan who took the time, was moved with compassion, and he poured in the oil and wine that cost him something. He took time that cost him something. Put him on his beast, that cost him something. Put him up in the inn, that cost him money. How many believe that we are going to see a shift in the body of Christ where we realize that all that we do in our jobs and in our methods of doing things is really about loving the unloved with our time, energy, and money, praise God, and maybe preventing somebody from going to hell or a premature death? Come on. We need to realize that there are things ahead for us, and we press toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. Come on, if you're mature, you'll have this mind. Amen? So, we need to encourage your life to a moral cause. Remember, Jesus gave his life for us all. Exchange your life. Amen. Exchange your time. What did I say? Exchange. And be willing to exchange your life and time for the purposes and the destiny that God's called you to. Take number 5, take time to dream. Take time to dream. Think of creative ways of how to be a blessing. When you go grocery shopping, think of somebody else to buy groceries for, or maybe a snack or a gift or something. Think outside the box. Think how to buy maybe somebody a tank of gas, hallelujah, at the gas station and blow their mind, hallelujah. I'll flat guarantee you they won't look at you as swamp gas at the gas station. They'll look at you as a dynamo of love, praise God. Take time to dream. You're born for something bigger that's inside of you. Invest in dreaming outside your present world and situation. Get a sense of destiny through God's Spirit. Take time to reflect. Well, that's going to take praying in the Holy Ghost, isn't it? That's going to allow the fire of God to get... You know, God is a creative God. God has a way of creating ideas and thoughts on the inside of it if it will just take time to dream with Him. Many times we trade our lives for a lot less than we're worth. We become who we are because we accept the lie that we are not worth any more than our present little existence. Don't mistake activity with accomplishment. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're accomplishing eternal things of eternal worth. Make sure you're full of the fire and Word of God making a difference. Number 6, exit your past to go into your future. Let go of what makes you stop. Let go of the things that used to hold you down. Well, you don't know the trouble I've been through. Well, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. I'm the wrong color. I'm the wrong sex. I'm the wrong height. I'm the wrong whatever. Come on, get over it. We need to stop using the excuses of our past to keep us from achieving what God has already predestined us to achieve. Beethoven wrote the 9th Symphony when he was stone deaf. Handel's Messiah was written in 45 minutes. I'm telling you right now, God wants us to exit our past, let go of what holds us back. Come on now, and move into what we should do in our future. Say, I will exit my past to go into my future. You might have suffered a divorce. All men are creeps. No, they're not. Some men are. All women are creeps. No, they're not. Some are. Come on now. And I went into the women's clothing store and I asked, I know my wife's sizes, her colors, her tastes, and all that stuff. And I walked in and the lady said, can I help you? She thought I was like a little lost puppy, you know. I said, yes, my wife is an autumn. She's this size, and she likes this kind of, and this her winter colors and her autumn colors, whatever, and so on and so forth. And they said, are there any more like you? I said, there probably are. Just pray, they'll come. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought of starting a new business, but no, I didn't think that was God. All right, now, how to connect to your godly mate. Hallelujah. No, God's got a way of doing it. So whatever you're victimized by, let go of it. Move on. My brother went through a horrible divorce, and he was single for 18 years. And we didn't take sides, you know. He realized and that they both had gotten away from God, gotten away from the Scriptures. And I said, Jeff, you know, you're going to get married one of these days. Well, Jan, if I do, this woman's got to have these qualifications. She's got to have this, and she's got to have that. And he had this stack, I mean, this list. And I said, Jeff, that woman doesn't exist on this planet. Maybe the planet Krypton, maybe Wonder Woman, but that woman doesn't exist. And the reason for all that stacking up was that he didn't want to get hurt anymore. And I said, but you know what? There's no such thing as a perfect woman, Jeff, but there is such thing as a perfect woman for you. So whatever it is, you know, exit your past to go into your future. Well, I tried going into business and failed. Well, J.C. Penney went bankrupt several times. Walt Disney went bankrupt several times. And there's something inside of them that had a passion bigger than their problem. Yeah. You have to have fire that's so raging hot and combustible that no matter what junk you go through, you're going to keep walking right through it until you get to your destiny. The word destiny means a predetermined state or condition foreordained by divine or human will. The Oxford Dictionary describes destiny as an overruling, invincible necessity. I must, Jesus said, preach to other cities. That was passion coming on, a sense of destiny. Obviously, he's Son of God. He knew who he was. Amen. But Paul said, I have to go preach to the Gentiles. I have to go here. I have to go there. Come on, everybody. What makes the great great? Is it their looks? Is it their age? Is it their fame? Is it their clothing? Is it what they drive? What makes the great great? It's people that will yield to the fire of God. It's people that will say yes to the destiny and the assignment that God has called them to. Can I give you a scripture? Please say yes. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. Boy, I thought I was doing good until then. Yeah, I'll take one more scripture, praise God. Chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Turn to somebody and say, you're God's idea. You're created. Come on, say it. You're created. You know, my brother used to tease me growing up, said, you're hatched. We found you. Under a bridge. You know, older brothers have a tendency to be pretty cruel. Hallelujah. But anyway, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. God had a destiny prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. You know what? There's a destiny waiting to be discovered by all of us. There's something rolling on the inside of you. It might be an invention. It might be an idea. It might be a book. It might be a song. It might be a ministry. It might be a brand new syllabus for doing business. It might be ministry of some kind. It might be reaching out to children. We have a young... we have a wonderful dynamic youth group, and this young lady came to me whose father died of cancer, and instead of being bitter toward God and mad at the world, she started coming to our youth group and realized that God's a good God and the devil's a bad devil. And she came to me and brought another lady another young lady in our church that her job during the day is daycare, and she works at a daycare center watching kids. And they came up and they said, you know, Pastor, we've been doing this, and we want your advice, and we want your input, and Miss Debbie's input, and so on and so forth. But it's gotten so where it's taken off, and we need advice, we need help. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, we have started a little outreach, and she said, I've just had a passion for children that have had battle with their health, they have operations, deformities, cancer, terminal illnesses, and so on. And God's put in my heart, Pastor, just to raise money and buy gifts and toys and clothes for children. We're calling it Make a Child Smile. And would you help us with this? And I said, absolutely. So people bring their spare change, and they're bringing hundreds of dollars and all kinds of goods to help the families with operation costs that didn't have insurances and stuff like that. This thing has taken off with two young ladies that are barely 20 years of age just because they have a passion for something and someone else other than their own interests. They have nothing to gain from it personally, just the satisfaction that they're giving God the glory and helping somebody else out. Praise be to God. So how many believe you have a sense of destiny? You do. You absolutely do. Hallelujah. Well, in closing, I'm going to give you a few more points. My first closing. All right. What was the thing I left you with? Exit your past, right? To go into your future. And then number seven was set goals. If you're going to be on fire with God's fire, and you're going to reach your destiny, you have to set goals. Well, Pastor, this isn't, Brother Jan, this isn't New Year's Eve. You know, this is not the start of a new year. Let's not go through the goals thing again. Well, let's give us something. But you know what? You have to define your goals. You have to set out your strategy. You have to plan your progress. You have to define your mission statement. You have to plan out your solutions. You know, pilots go into a flight simulator, and they go through all the possible problems in an emergency. They prepare in advance to handle the problems that might come their way. How many know when you go to church, come on everybody, you're hearing the Word of God that will prepare you for whatever the devil throws at you? How many know when you leave this church, you're taller than you came? You're more victorious than you came. And you feel like you can take on the world, praise God. And when the devil throws it at you, you go, ha ha, I just learned that from Pastor. I learned that from the Holy Ghost through Pastor's teaching last week, praise God, that we're moved by faith and not by sight. And Brother Jan taught us how to flam the flame, hallelujah. Are you all right? That I'm no longer swamp gas. I'm really on fire for Jesus. I'm not an imitation. I'm the real deal. Turn to somebody and say, you're not an imitation. You're not mere swamp gas. You're the real deal, full of combustion. All right. You know, about 9 o'clock, the world will go to the dance hall. They'll get on the dance floor and start oiling up with spirits. And they won't leave until the law tells them to go home. And we haven't even reached 9 o'clock yet, have we? Not quite, but Pastor, we're almost there. I know. Listen, define your plans. What do you desire? Well, I want to get married to a man. Well, what kind of man do you want? You want a half-dead one or a live one? You want a fat one, skinny one, black one, red one, yellow one, white one? Do you want one with a big nose, little nose? Do you want one that's stupid or smart? Do you want one that's a man of God or is a heathen, 500 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick? I mean, what kind of man do you want? What kind of woman do you want? What kind of car do you want? What kind of business do you want? What kind of money do you want to make? Just think about what you make per year right now in your heart. Just think about that in your mind. And just say, are you worth at least double that? If you make $50,000, sister, do you think you're worth $100,000? If you're worth maybe 100, maybe you're worth 200. Do I hear 200? Do I hear 250? How many can believe that God wants you to dream big? Say no small plans here. Point to yourself. No small plans here. Hallelujah. So plan out your problem solutions. You know, develop an I can do attitude. Build in reserves with your spirit. How many know you should feed your spirit? How many know you should feed your mind? How many know you should take care of your body? How many know you should rule over your finances? Come on, let your money be your servant, praise God. You should build reserves in the social arena too. Have good friends, have godly counsel. Preparation is expectation of the future in action. Faith is revealed through preparation. Preparation is proof that you expect a future. The 10 virgins. Come on now. Some were foolish and some were wise. How many know preparation is of God? A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. My kids love that scripture. All right, praise the Lord. You need to relate to time frames. And I'm going to end with a few more points here. This is my second closing. Time is an opportunity looking for a cause. Time is a given distance between failure and success. Time is God's gift of power. So we need to set a long time goal. Look at where you want to be in 1 year from now. Do you want to have more word level in you a year from now than you have right now? Do you want to have more victory than you have right now a year from now? 12 months from this very hour on a Friday about this same month next year, do you want to be able to say, praise God, what I've been thanking God for has come to pass? How about a 5-year goal? How about a 10-year goal? How about a 20-year goal? How about a 40-year goal? How about a 50-year goal? You know, I believe that the Bible promises 120 years. 60 is really the new 40s. Because I'm getting near that. But really, when you think about 60, it's half of 120. And so really, Zig Ziglar says you should actually set a 30-year goal when you're 60. That means I'm going to be, hallelujah, living to 90? Praise God. Listen, pastor's going to be pastoring a long time. Amen. And he's just going to get stronger and more anointed. The church is going to explode. This is not the only building you're going to have. This is one of many buildings and many things that you're going to be doing. From those years, come back in bite-sized chunks to where you are now. Ecclesiastes 3 says, there's a time for everything. Time, not money, is your most important commodity and resource. Time is the most valuable thing in life. It's really about how you invest your life and your time wisely. Now is the only time you have. Can I hear an amen? Romans 13, 11 through 14, 13 basically says, now it is high time to serve the Lord. Say, now it's high time to live for Jesus. You need to create a master plan. Put it on paper. Write it down. Record the plan. Determine to be 100%. Be flexible. Be focused. Remember, it's all about the master and his master plan for our lives. And when should you do this? You should do it now. Do what you can with what you have. Sow the seeds of time to studying, counsel, knowledge, action, fellowship, getting taught, so on. Report your progress to someone you're accountable to. Let others encourage you. Keep priorities in line. Watch your progress as you step out in faith. Always reach forward every day to those things which are ahead for you. Remember, slow motion is better than no motion. It's better to move forward at a snail's pace than not to move at all. It's better to do something